Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3, and then we will pray here in a minute. 2 Corinthians 3. And as you turn there, if you've been praying to the Holy Spirit differently, say amen. Amen. Very good, very good. If you have been hearing him speak to you differently, say amen. Amen. If you've been obeying differently, say amen. Very good. That's the most important part of it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, let's all bow our heads and pray. And just repeat after me out loud. Dear Holy Spirit, how are you this morning? I am doing fine. Thank you for speaking to me and leading me. I pray today that you would begin to separate me from my old ways, from the world, from death. Thank you for being patient with me and loving and consistent. I look forward to hearing your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 In my third year with the Chargers, I hurt my knee and was out for about 7 weeks, I believe, and came back at the end of the year. My knee wasn't completely right, so the next training camp, I hurt it again. And I was out for a few weeks, or maybe a week. I think it was still about a week and out. And I decided that I was healthy enough to practice. And I knew that if I practiced, I would be on film, and I knew they would cut me because that was kind of how the was going on. They were trying to get one person was trying to get rid of me. And so I knew that when I was gonna once I practiced that day, it would be my last day on the team. But I wanted to be honest with God. I said I'm healthy. I wasn't 100%, but I was good enough to practice, and I didn't want to fake it. So I went out to practice, and I was just, you know, warming up. I was twisting like this, doing this drill, and I was going, yep, this is going to be my last day. Going to get cut tomorrow. And then I turned around, and I heard a guy call my name, and I turned around, and one of the trainers was walking towards me, and this little voice said, he has a message from God. And so I just turned around and looked at him, and he just walked real slow, all the way past all the other players, and came right up to me, got about 2 inches from my face, and he gave me a red jersey, and he says, you are hurt. I said, yep, I'm not getting cut today. And what he did was he separated me from the active to the inactive player. He says, you are no longer active, you are inactive. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is he wants to come to you and separate you from some stuff. Wants to separate you from yourself. We're going to see what that means in a minute. Your old way of thinking, your old way of talking, your old way of reacting. He wants to separate you from the world. He wants to separate you from onto himself. He wants you all for himself. And the Holy Spirit's a he. We talked about that. He wants to separate you from death. Let's do a little review. We're in week 4 of a, I don't know how many weeks series on the invisible man. We'll see how long it goes. We saw in week number 1 that the Holy Spirit is God, just as much God as the Father and the Son. We are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. He's not a light. He's not a force. He's not a feeling. He's not a bird. It's a God. He's God. He's all-knowing, omniscient. He's all-powerful, omnipotent. He's all-present, omnipresent. Everyone say omnipotent. Say omniscient. Say omnipresent. So he's all God. He does everything. He created like God. He does everything God does. He's all God. We saw the week after that he was a person. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a he. He refers to himself as an I or a me. Jesus refers to him as a him. So we saw that he's a person, that he loves like people. He can be grieved like people. He has a mind like a person. He has a will like a person. And he also speaks like a person. And that he lives in you. So the Holy Spirit is a he. He's a person, not a human, Your personhood is not your body. Your body is your humanness. Your personhood is your personality, what's on the inside, your soul. And we were made in the image of God, so we were made after the person of God. And so he's a person. We were made in his image, in the image of God. So we saw that the Holy Spirit's all God. He's a person. He lives in you. Last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit sounds when he speaks, that he speaks with a small, still voice. He'll never talk to you loud like I'm talking to you now. He's going to talk to you just like this. It's going to sound like your conscience. Sometimes it's a groan in your heart. You just know something's wrong or something's right. Sometimes it'll always be biblical what he says to you. It'll always be from a position of God is daddy. The Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, or Daddy to God. And so the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into truth. He will lead you into truth by what he says. He will remind you of what Jesus said. He will speak and testify about who Jesus is. So that's what he's going to say to you. Whenever you hear voices in your head that sound biblical and sound what Jesus would say, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Okay? So we saw all that. Today we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit separates you. Say separate. Separate. Say separate. That you were united with something that he is going to separate you from. And the first thing he's going to separate you from is you. Number one in your notes, he will separate you from yourself. Separate you from yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image, the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the spirit of the Lord. Let me read it again, verse 18. We all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. The more clearly you see God, the more clearly you understand who God is. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just by the Holy Spirit of the Spirit of the Lord. What God is doing is he is transforming you more into the image of God and less into the image of who you think you are. I was talking to an NFL player. He was getting ready to confront his coach. And he was telling me, or he was going to confront the head coach. This was several years ago. And he was all jawed up, mad about something. And he's like, you know, I'm going to tell him what I'm thinking. I said, brother, slow down. You want to be careful that you don't go in there and speak your mind. And you want to be careful that you don't go in there and say what you want to say the way you want to say it. You want to be careful that you go in there and speak God's mind and say it the way God would want to say it and say only what God would want you to say. This is not about you. You are a sinner. You got attitude. You got all the stuff in your background that is all from your sinful nature, and that all that's going to do is breed death. You want to go in there and say, Lord, what do you want me to say? The Holy Spirit wants to transform all of you and separate you from your old way of thinking. If you go to a prison today, all those people in prison are there because they spoke their mind or they did what they wanted to do. We have to realize that when you say, well, I'm going to be who I am and I'm going to do, well, who you are is a sinner. Who you are is prideful, arrogant, and not every thought on your mind. But you want to say, I don't want to be who I want to be. I want to be who God created me to be. You were created in the image of God. And to put it on physical terms, and this is an elementary way of looking at it. God gave you a heart the same shape as his heart, so his heart can fit right with your heart. He didn't give any other living thing a heart or mind like that. He made us in his image so he can be one with us. Our sinful nature says, I don't want God's heart. Our sinful nature says, I want to do my thing. So it rejects God's heart. What the Holy Spirit does is separate you from that attitude and says, no, I want you to receive the heart of God. I want you to receive the mind of God. I want you to love like God and be patient like God and encourage like God. And so when the Holy Spirit's separating you from yourself, he's separating you from what you want to do and your arrogance and your pride and your selfish desires. That's what he wants to do. And so look what it says in verse 18. It says, we all with unveiled faces beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. We look in the mirror, we need to see the glory of God. We are being transformed into the same image. Write down Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. It says, The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And if you say, you know what, my way is right, you're a fool. I have the best idea, you are a fool. I know everything, you are a fool. And by the way, if you want to learn about a fool, read Proverbs. It talks about fools all the time. Oh my goodness. How many people say you've done something foolish in your life? Very good. If you're not raising your hand, you're a fool. Because you're fooling yourself. We've all done it. And one of the ways you know a fool is when he thinks his opinion is right. There's a way it seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do is say, you know what, I want to separate you from that kind of thinking. And I want you to start thinking like God. When Jesus was on, right before he was arrested, he was in the garden. And you know what he says? Father, I don't want to die on the cross. I mean, when I say that, I don't want to go through all that. It's going to be painful. But not my will, your will be done. It's not about me. It's not about me. I was in high school. When I was in high school, I was in a play called Guys and Dolls, and I was singing. And we were 12 of us across the stage. I was at the left end, the right end, as you face, right where I'm standing. And 12 of us were singing, and we were singing a song, and the music conductor was down here. We were all singing, and he stopped us right in the middle of the song. And he says, you guys on the left, you six on the left, you stop singing. You six on this side, you sing. Let's take it from the top, because something's wrong. And I was like, I know where this is going. I could save you a whole lot of time. So we started singing again. He says, stop, stop, stop. You three in the middle, you stop. And you three. And I was like, he's getting really warm. Take it from the top. He said, oh, stop, stop. And he pointed right at me. He said, you don't sing. This is how lip sync started, this incident right here. Because that whole play, all I did was. The Holy Spirit says, you know what? I want you to stop talking. I want you to stop singing. I want you to stop acting. Let me do it. That's what he wants to do in your life. So he wants to separate you from yourself. Number two, he wants to separate you from the world. He wants to separate you from the world. You're in 2 Corinthians. Turn to the two books after it, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. 21 years ago, I was speaking at Rancho Buena Vista High School here in San Diego. Did an assembly. And after the assembly, I told the kids, listen, I'm going to stand here. If you want to talk, come up and talk to me. And I was talking to a bunch of kids. And the last kid to come up was a guy named Victor. He was 17, captain of the football team, was going to be the class president the next year. And he told me, he says, my name is Victor, I'm 17, I'm captain of the football team, we're all this, and I'm all state, all whatever he was at the time, and I'm going to be the ASB president. And he says, I can't take it, I want to kill myself. So I said, let's go sit over here in the bleachers. Went and sat in the bleachers, and he got saved. Today, he's the head football coach at Azusa Pacific University, where my son is going to actually go play football. You know what I'm saying? And keep it all in the family, you know, they got to work all the angles. So I went up to him. We were up there the other day. You know, my son was visiting. Well, as of right now, we're intending to do that. We haven't got all the final paperwork, but we're intending to do that. I said, you know, brother, you remember you got saved 21 years ago. Can you hook a brother with some scholarship money? You know what I'm saying? We'll see what happens. But we were up there the other day, and he told us that an NFL scout had come to Azusa to recruit a kid, and he had asked the NFL scout, you know, so what are y'all looking for? What's new in the NFL? And he was really kind of trying to figure out if there's any new defensive schemes or offensive schemes or whatever, just some, you know, some insight. And the guy said, I'm going to tell you what's new. We're no longer going after just the talented players. We're going after people with character. And because, amen. We were tired of wasting all this money on people who are embarrassing us. An NBA owner said the same thing recently. We can't afford to spend all this money on people that are going to embarrass us. And what is this? This is code for godliness is worth invested in. That's what he's saying. And so what the Holy Spirit wants to do is the Holy Spirit wants to separate you from your ghetto factor. And let me clarify in case any of y'all misunderstand that. Ghetto factor is in all kinds of people. White, black, Hispanic, and other. So don't think it's that neighborhood or that neighborhood. It's in every neighborhood. And ghetto factor in the context I'm talking about is where it's all about me. I'm the man or I'm the woe man. No, no, no. It's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wants to remove you from thinking like the world. I got to get mine. I got to do it my way. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, God, the Holy Spirit, made you alive who were dead in your transgressions and sins. You used to be spiritually dead. He made you alive or set you free. In verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, basically the devil. What the Bible's saying is that the Holy Spirit wants to make you alive because he made you alive where before you were spiritually dead and used to do what everyone else did. You followed, when someone cursed you, you cursed back. When someone cut you off, you flipped them off. When someone did this, you did this. That's what the world does. And the Holy Spirit says, no, I'm going to separate you from that. I don't want you to live like that anymore. And by the way, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to empower you so you can be set free from living that way. You don't have to do that. When the Bible says that God set you free, what that means is one of many things is that you now have the ability to not retaliate. I was standing in line at the airport. And this has happened many times where people cut line in front of you, and they do it slick. They just kind of, you know, they won't look at you, of course, because they're embarrassed. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Don't you hate that? Well, this one time I was in line, I was in Arizona, at Phoenix Airport. I remember like yesterday, and I happened to have my back a little I was at the end of the line. And next thing you know, this old lady, granny, just because the old people are old don't mean they're all sweet, because they're not. Just, you know, hey, I'm just calling like I see it. And this old lady just kind of eased right into my spot. And I turned around, I'm like, what? No, she did not. And she wouldn't look at me. So I'm thinking, okay, can I jam Granny up? What do I do? You're a pastor. I was like, man, I want to say something so bad. And what do I say to her? You know, like, yo, what's up, Granny? I don't know, what do I say? Can't do that. I was standing there going, she just jacked me right in public in the middle of the day. God said, you are free. You don't need to worry about that. You can just let it go. I didn't want to let it go. It was wrong. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But you know what? It didn't matter. It wasn't about me. So I didn't say anything. You know, I pouted inside. I sulked. I was mad. I was frustrated. I wanted to, you know, just like move around and get in front of her. I couldn't. And God says, you don't have to. You have been set free. You could actually let it go where you could forget about it right now if you want. So it's up to you. God set me free. You don't have to live like the world. Y'all seen The Wizard of Oz? You remember Little Munchkin? That's how I was on. So mad. God is going to ask you to do stuff that you don't want to do, and you have to say, Holy Spirit, can I do this? He's going to say, yes, I give you all the power to do it. So what used to make you mad, you don't have to be mad. What used to make you envious doesn't have to. You don't have to be first. The people you hated or frustrated with or resent or people who've wronged you, you can love them. You don't have to be their friend. You can still love them. You can still pray for them. You can still forgive. He set you free. You don't have to be like the world. Holy Spirit wants to separate you from that mentality. Some of y'all enslaved to that mentality. Holy Spirit says, I'm going to set you free. Real quick, you're in Ephesians, the book right before it. Just turn the page once towards the front, and you'll be in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, in chapter 5, verse 16, says, I say, then, walk in the Spirit. Everyone say, walk in the Spirit. and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Say lust of the flesh. Now, don't associate lust with sex only. Lust is a strong desire to get something that doesn't belong to you. Your flesh, your emotions, your envy, your pride, your physical body, it has desires. It wants food when it wants food. It wants attention when it wants attention, and it wants the type of attention it wants. It wants things, and it wars against the spirit. The spirit wants to go left. Your flesh wants to go right. They're never in agreement. They're at war with each other. So walking in the spirit is saying, Holy Spirit, you guide and direct me. And the Holy Spirit says, I have set you free so you can walk with me. And I'm going to walk you in the opposite direction as your flesh wants to go. There's going to be a constant tension. How many of you acknowledge that there's a constant tension between the flesh and the spirit? Very good. How many of you know that there's stuff your flesh wants to do that you know is 100% wrong all the time? Very good. And so you're going like this every day. And whether you are a mature Christian is how quickly and how often and how faithfully you say no to your flesh and yes to God. Period. It's about obedience. Don't tell me how long you've been saved. How often and how quickly and how thoroughly do you obey? Doesn't matter how you feel. Matter of fact, you obeying God against your feelings is really what proves what kind of Christian you are, because it's easy to do when everything's fine. In other words, y'all going here, word. Well, everyone's doing word. What's the big deal? Good for you. What about the mall? I mean, I'm walking, I don't go to the mall a lot. And usually when I'm at the mall, I'm not happy. So because I'm not happy, I don't feel like, you know, hey, praise the Lord. I don't feel it. I'm exaggerating, but there's truth to it, because I'm not really happy when I'm at the mall. And I'll be at the mall, and everyone's like, you know, they're so happy. Hey, that's Pastor Miles. And they'll yell from way down the mall, hey, who's the man? And I know they're yelling at me. So I'm like, yeah, well, maybe I didn't hear him. You know, there's a lot of people out here. You know, maybe they're yelling at somebody else, right? And like, who's the man? Well, it's one thing to say, who's the man? It's another thing to turn around and say, Jesus! So when God challenged you to do something, are you going to do it when it's not the fashionable thing to do? That's the test. And so the spirit and the flesh are warring with each other all the time. Let's keep reading, because our time is running out. Look what it says in verse 17. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do what you want. Verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, just in case you didn't know what the flesh was, let's read them. It says in verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and guess what? And anything else like that.
Well, it doesn't say that I can't smoke cigarettes in here. I just don't see it, so it's okay. It doesn't say anything about crack, so I guess crack is okay too. It says anything like that.
Now, if you smoke cigarettes, we're not saying that you're a bad person, because, you know, we're all sinners, but this right here is the temple of God. This building is not the temple of God. This is a building. It's a building. This is a temple of God. You wouldn't smoke cigarettes in the building. So you want to treat this temple like a temple. This is the temple. I was working out this morning, and I saw ESPN that one in every three children in the United States is obese. Children. It's the highest ever in the history of our country. And they say this generation may be the generation that does not outlive their parents. What do? Sit in front of the TV, little kids, and just do this all day. iPod, Facebook, MySpace. Text all at the same time. And eat. For reals. I mean, think about when we were kids. We had nothing. Black and white, you had the hanger in your TV. And if it wasn't at the right angle and the sun wasn't at the right place in a cloud, you didn't get a TV. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Right. There was no cable. It was ABC, NBC, and that was it. Black and white. You spend all day running around outside, riding your bike, whatever, and taking care of your temple. You didn't even realize it. We don't take care of our temple. We just eat whatever we want to eat, drink whatever we want to drink, do whatever we want to do with our body. And believe me, I'm not at all perfect in that. But the point is that this is the temple. So when it says the things that are like, whatever you're doing that's contrary to what the Spirit wants to do, that's wrong. And the evidence is death. Look what it says in verse 22. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And such there is no law against these things. In other words, there is never an opportunity and never a time when that doesn't work. And by the way, have you ever seen a tree, apple tree, do this? And apples come out? I'll do it again. You missed it. Have you ever walked or avocado orchard, apple tree, and it goes like this? All these trees are going, They're straining. Mm-mm. They don't. They just bear fruit. Holy Spirit just bear fruit in your life. Just obey him. He'll bring it out in your life. You surrender yourself to him. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. He wants to separate you from the world mentality. Number three in your notes, he separates you onto himself. Onto himself. You're in Galatians 3-4 books before it is Acts. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas are ministering, and now the Holy Spirit is going to separate them to himself for a specific missionary purpose. Verse 2. Acts 13:2. As they were ministering to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. Everyone say, the Holy Spirit said. It's a person. Look what he says. Now separate to me. Say to me. We're talking about a person, not a human, a person. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. I think these are called personal pronouns. Is that correct? I'm a math person, not an English person. Separate to me the work that I have established. This is a person, the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit says to you is that I want to separate you from yourself, from the world, from everything, to myself. I have something for you to do. The Holy Spirit has something for all of you to do. Every single one of you. Everyone raise your hand real high. Everybody. If your hand is in the air, wave it like you just don't care. Hey. Okay. If your hand's in the air, the Holy Spirit has a job for you. I would think you would want to know what that is. And by the way, the Holy Spirit, what he has for you to do is according to his will for your life. It's according to God's eternal plan for your life and the deep things of God in the mind of God as they pertain to your life. It's all coordinated. God is not confused. He's very coordinated, very strategic, very efficient. So God says, I have something for you to do. Come here, for a visual, let's just make believe I'm the Holy Spirit and you are the podium. You are the book. You're the Bible. That's good. You're the book. You're the Bible. I'm the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to myself. Come on, let's go. The old you's over there. The world's over there. And we're going to see in a minute, death is over there. I want you to myself. Come on. We got stuff to do. That's what God wants to do to you. And it's up to you to say yes or no to him. It's up to you. If you say yes to him, you can say, yes, I understand that I'm a sinner and my ways are not good. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. I believe that. So I'm not going to trust in myself. I'm going to trust in you, Holy Spirit. Where are we going today? What are we going to do today? How do you want me to respond to that? How do you want me to deal with this lady that just cut me off? How do you want me to deal with the person that cut me off in the parking lot or they made me wait too long to get my space or whatever? How do you want me to deal with all those things? He said, I'll tell you. What do you want me to do with my life? I'll tell you. And so all of us in here, he's pulling on you every single day. He's whispering to you, his small, still voice. He's groaning in your heart, talking to you every single day. And you're making a decision to either ignore him or submit to him. There is no other decision. It's either yes or no. If you say wait, that's a no. That's a no. And to know what is right to do and don't do it, the Bible calls sin. So when you say, Holy Spirit, I know you want me to do that, but I'm going to do this, you sin. Holy Spirit, I know I should say thank you to that person, or I know you want me to say sorry to that person, or I know you want me to clarify with that person, but I don't want to do that because it's embarrassing. I don't want to do it because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to do it because I don't think I'll do it right. You are justifying sin. Obey. Obey. Walking by the Spirit is letting him lead you in all those decisions. It's not walking around going, oh, na da da ba da da ba da boom, shakalaka boom. It's not praying, you know, walking around praying in tongues and dancing around. Oh, praise the Lord. That's hippies. I mean, you could do that, but that's not what it means. And walking in the Spirit means I am being led by the Holy Spirit. I am speaking like him, responding like him, thinking like him, acting like him. That's what that means. It's simple. It's simple. Number four in your notes. The Holy Spirit separates you from death. Death. Everyone say death. So many people are scared of dying. The only thing about dying that I'm scared of, and I shouldn't even say I'm scared of it because I don't sit in fear. No one wants to die a painful death. I actually look forward to dying. I look forward to dying if I have an opportunity to be clear and talk to people and reflect. I want to be old. 120 is my goal. And I don't want to be like 120. Like, I don't want to be really jacked up for 12 years just trying to make 120. Just kill me. You know, let me die now. But I want to be productive, and my ideal death would be for God to come tell me, in a month you're going to die. Or 6 months, whatever. Get your house, you know, do whatever you got to do, but in a month, you're going to die. To me, that would be, as long as I'm old enough where I feel like I've accomplished everything God's called me to do, and if that happens, I will have, I will be so excited. Why? Because when you die here, to be absent from the body means to be present from God, with the Lord. So the Holy Spirit wants to separate you from the fear of death and from death itself, because you'll have a resurrected body. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, If the spirit of him, Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I'm going to resurrect from the dead. You're going to resurrect from the dead if you have Christ in you. You live 50 years, 60 years, 100 years, 200 years on this earth is nothing compared to eternity. This is nothing. And we have to have our mind on heavenly things, eternal things. And what the Holy Spirit does, he separates you from the whole preoccupation. I have to live. You're not going to live forever. You're not. And when people die who have Christ, you have hope. You don't want to die without Christ. You're in Romans. Two books before Romans. John chapter 3. The Holy Spirit wants to separate you from your old self. Your old self that sabotages your life all the time with things you say, things you do. The Holy Spirit wants to separate you from living like the world and being caught up in the world and being enslaved with the mentality of the world. The Holy Spirit wants to separate you to himself. And lastly, he wants to separate you from death, the death, the results of sin in your life. Look what it says in John chapter 3, verse 1. Nicodemus, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a rabbi, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs unless God was with him. You walk on water, you do this, you do that. Jesus said, most assuredly I say, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again, everyone say born again. First birth is physical, the second birth is spiritual, of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Can you imagine coming to church, getting saved, and going, Mom, I got some good news. I got some bad news. Yeah, that will be the day you see Jesus, for reals. Verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is give you new birth, new life. He wants to cleanse you of your sin and give you spiritual life through which you have a relationship with God. When you are spiritually dead, before you ask Christ to be your Savior, you have no relationship with God. You're spiritually dead. You're separated from God. Your spiritual death separates you from God. He wants to give you spiritual life. Jesus calls it being born again. We have physical birth, spiritual birth. Heavenly Father, earthly Father, heavenly Father. Earthly life, spiritual life. How does that happen? You say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died to pay the penalty of my sin. I believe he rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. And that Holy Spirit you talked about, send him, please, to live in me. Send him to separate me to himself, to give me his mind, his heart, that I may bear fruit, that he may bear his fruit through my life. I want that, God. I don't want to live my old way. I don't want to sabotage my life anymore. I don't want to make the decisions I made that just bring me drama. I want to think like you. But it all starts with you asking Christ to be your Savior. It all starts with you being born again. So right now, let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you so much that you love us and that you know us. Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak to people even now, reassuring them that this is what they've been looking for, that this is what you've been talking to them about. If you realize that you are a sinner, that the penalty is death, and that Jesus loves you, that he died and rose from the dead, and you would like to receive his forgiveness and be born again, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe the penalty of my sin is death. But I believe you love me, that you died and rose from the dead. Please forgive me of my sin. Send the Holy Spirit into my heart and take over my life. It's to separate me from my old ways. Thank you. Thank you. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to be born again. I want the Holy Spirit to live inside of me and lead me and guide me. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing, you are acknowledging these things. And by faith, you are surrendering your life to the Lord. So eyes closed, heads bowed, it's between you and God. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. I want to change my life. Just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Stay standing. Good. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. God bless you in the balcony. We see you all over the room. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else, stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you.